Here's Patrick Creighton, live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios.
Pat Creighton in for Paul Gallant, who was doing his best Charlie Polillo and not working for the summer. Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5, 92.5, 713-780-3776, 713-780-ESPN on the HRMP listener line, on the text line, on Twitter at PCreighton1. Sean Mapes on the other side of the glass at the Master Controls, at Sean A. Mapes on Twitter, on the Twitch stream, twitch.tv/ESPN975. ESPN975.com, ESPN975 app. Tell Google, tell Alexa, play ESPN975. Take us with you everywhere you go because, well, you know you want to. For those of you asking like Lone Ranger about the announcer guy, that announcer guy is Spencer Tillman. Respect and recognize. He even made an early hits. He made two early hits rejoiners. And I didn't even know they were there. Surprise for me. That was pretty solid, by the way.
Yeah, nice little.
That was well done.
Nice little thank you for filling in.
That was well done. I did not expect that. Didn't see that coming. And it was a nice little surprise. Like, what? Maybe I'll even get some more promos running on the site. Oh, my goodness. What could happen? We are, 2 weeks? Not even 2 weeks. From full training camp, rookies already starting to report for some teams. It's almost football time, dare I say it, in the H. And for the first time in several years, we don't have to feel like, ah, crap, it's football time. How are the Texans going to tick us off this year? Should actually feel like this is a team on the rise. Not rise as in 10 wins, not rise as in playoff team, but, I mean, look, the bar has been basically on the floor of the basement. But that doesn't mean we shouldn't expect that things are going to move forward. They're going to get better. They're going to be more competitive. They're going to win some more games. They did, in fact, draft a franchise quarterback and a franchise edge rusher, despite somehow not making the PFF list of top 10 biggest moves of the offseason. Somehow the Panthers are on there twice. The Panthers are on there, one for getting Bryce Young, and then two for getting, like, DJ Chark. Really? Brandon Cooks to the Cowboys was 8. Brandon Cooks didn't even have 700 yards last year, and he quit on his team. How exactly is that one of the 8 best moves of the offseason? But the Texans getting C.J. Stroud and Will Anderson, nowhere to be found. Seems like that is some bull. You know what comes next. Well, that being said, Laramie Tunsil is pretty much talking to everybody right now. Laramie Tunsil is making the media tour. Yesterday at his camp, talking with Aaron Wilson from KPRC, here's Laramie Tunsil talking about D'Amico Ryans, who he thinks is going to be the starting quarterback, and how good the Texans' tackle pairing is.
Think about the season. We're going to be here before you know it. We're
starting
weeks.
Next week.
Yeah,
starting next week.
It's
coming,
on.
Coming soon. You know, and they got us as underdogs. So, I mean, that means a lot to us. I mean, we got to go out there and prove to a lot of people that we want to be.
With you have Coach D'Amico, does that bolster the confidence and feel different coming into the season?
Absolutely. Coach D'Amico came in the building with unbelievable energy. He brought that from San Fran. He brought it to the Houston Texans. Something that we need. You know, he's consistent with his energy, and that's we need a guy that can lead us like that. He was very consistent, and everybody decided to play for him. So let's see.
So it didn't take long for the buy-in to kick in.
It did. His
energy kind of rubs off.
Because we already knew his resume. You know, he played here, and then he started coaching at San Fran. That energy just came along. Something we needed.
The confidence in C.J. Stroud, It's been building quickly. What is it about CJ that's gotten you to be a believer very fast?
Man, you should see how he came to the building. He came to the building already a leader. You know, he voiced himself. He voiced himself in the huddles. You know, he's one of those guys that, like, yo, I'm a lead. That's not just follow. That's what we're doing.
For a rookie, is that surprising for a veteran like you to see that?
That's surprising at all.
Okay. Surprising at all.
And I think they're sleeping on tandems. I saw a list, and I think I saw you on social
media.
You and Titus got to be one of the best tandems. And why?
If not the best tandems out there.
Why do you feel that way?
Good. We wanted the best tandems in NFL football, and yep. I say that. Yep. I say that wholeheartedly.
That's why last year, your skills kind of speak
for themselves.
So here is the number one takeaway that I want to address with you, Mr. Sean Mapes, with the long flowing locks of hair. You heard the very glowing report that Laramie Tunsil gave on C.J. Stroud. Do you take that as A, being a team guy, supporting the thing, just doing the job and putting over the young quarterback? Or do you take it as, if he's saying it, he really believes it, because Laramie Tunsil has been very reportedly unmotivated in the past, may have absolutely just said, I'm not playing this year, and quit on the team just 2 years ago and said, you can play the rest of this trash year without me. I'm not subjecting myself to this. Because Tunsil reportedly has a reputation for maybe not being all that committed, to see him so committed to putting over C.J. Stroud, does that tell you you should buy in because Laramie really buys in, or do you feel he's just being Al Snow and doing the job?
I think he's being real. I don't think he's pumping C.J.'s tires for just to do it, because it's not so much that he's doing it. It's like specifically what he's talking about is like, A, things that we already kind of knew about C.J. Stroud, and B, he's not the only one saying how much of a leader he's been in the early mini camp stuff, and how the attitude and the willingness to learn and all that stuff that C.J. Stroud, all the glowing reviews that we're hearing about C.J. Stroud, everyone said, like, all the people around the Texans are saying the same thing. And so if it was just kind of, you know, being a good teammate, kind of blah, blah, blah speech about like talking up the first round quarterback, like I feel like we'd be able to tell that.
He did make the post on the gram.
Yes, that too.
Of he and CJ with the quote, with the caption, QB1.
Yeah. He's throwing his weight behind his guy.
It does seem the only people who are not anointing CJ Stroud QB1 are the head coach and the general manager. Everybody else, maybe with the exception of Davis Mills, everybody else is looking at it. This is not a competition. This is a coronation, and the young man is here to lead us to the promised land.
Let me check Davis Mills' Instagram stories. See.
Does he have an Instagram? I figured you would know. You know, you're young, you're cool, you're hip, you're with it.
I'm hip and with it, but I'm not sure if Davis Mills is. He is on Instagram.
Of course he is.
He's also hip and with it.
Is his Instagram handle also underscore long neck?
No, it's Millsians. Ions. I don't know.
Oh, instead of millions, it's Millsians?
Yeah.
Yeah. Millsians, like Mick Millsions is more like it.
Yeah.
Mick Mansion? Yeah. Mick Millions. He's got some thousands. Now, I want to play this audio for this point of view. Is this, when you listen to this, do you hear Tunsil being confident in the direction of the Texans? Or do you hear Adam Schefter having the most punchable voice in the history of mankind?
These guys are there because I see how they work. They care about the game of football, and that's what we need on this team to get it done.
There is some talent there now that you mention all these names. And I just don't think people think of the Texans these days like that. So,
right.
If you're correct, and we shouldn't be sleeping on the Texans, it should be a very fun year in Houston, particularly when I don't think expectations around the city and around the league are as high as they probably are within the organization.
Right. No, just don't. Absolutely, don't sleep on us, man. It's going to be a good season.
I feel like Shefty deserves an RKO out of nowhere and a stunner. And then probably a people's elbow. And then have Hogan come in with the leg drop just for S&Gs. I know he has like every breaking story. We also know that he's in bed with every GM. But the more TV time he gets, the more annoying he is. And literally, he just, to me, he's the kind of person who should just get punched in the face. Can we get him in like the octagon with Nate Diaz and just let Nate just pummel him?
I feel like that's the next logical step. Not specifically Nate Diaz, but like how we're seeing with the celebrity boxing and now Elon Musk and Mark Zuckerberg. Like, they really wanted to move some pay-per-view units.
By the way,
get Schefter in there with Ian Rappaport.
Not that I'm an Elon Musk fan, but Mark Zuckerberg is a massive little B. He's the one who wanted to push forward with, oh, yeah, I'll fight him. Then he's like, oh, wait, Elon's like 6'1", and I'm like 5'6". Maybe I shouldn't fight him. And he's now trying to backtrack. Your mouth wrote the check. Now go cash it. You're talking about how big and bad you are. You're going to fight him. Get your ass in the cage and fight him. You meow. Had a
good edit.
Put the editing on there for a second. You know, Sean, this is something that I've always hated, but I think I'm coming around on it. But I still think this is the result of total NCAA incompetence. Next.
Welcome back to Early Hits with Patrick Creighton, coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios.
Early Hits, also known as the Vogel On Show. Just only when I'm hosting. Paul is taking a Palillo-style vacation of all summer. Is Paul up in Boston? Is he going to have some chowder? Maybe. Possibly. Potentially. The NCAA, in all of its patheticness, their inability to govern their own sport, actually, think about how big the FBI investigation into Adidas and the kickbacks for wearing sneakers was. The NCAA couldn't do any of this stuff, but the FBI did it for them. Why is the FBI enforcing NCAA rules, right? And since then, the NCAA has consistently lobbied Congress to pass national NIL legislation to basically save them from their own incompetence. We can't do it. You have to do it for us. Did not know the NCAA was actually run by the government. Well, SEC Commissioner Greg Sankey, at the start of SEC Media Days, had this to say regarding the government and NIL.
The reality is our student-athletes deserve something better than a patchwork of state laws that support their name, image, and likeness activity, if support is the right word. Our student-athletes deserve something better than a race to the bottom at the state legislature level. Only Congress can fully address the challenges facing college athletics. The NCAA cannot fix all of these issues. The courts cannot resolve all of these issues. The states cannot resolve all of these issues, nor can the conferences. Whether congressional action is achievable is a matter of debate. Much debate.
He's right on this. Every state passes their own NIL law. Some states pass them for what they think is fair and reasonable. Some states pass them to give their local universities an advantage in NIL to recruit. But every state has a different rule. And that is a major complication when it comes to, let's say, equitable and even recruiting fields, right? Not the recruiting field is ever completely even. But it is an issue in that different schools can do different things, some of which get a unfair advantage because of it. We have seen some rogue players promising NIL deals and then welching on them, leaving players stuck in no man's land. They committed to a school, got an NIL deal, then the NIL deal got yanked. It's a giant bait and switch. So maybe there does need to be some kind of universal legislation. And look, this is the government bailing out the NCAA, who is incapable of putting out their own universal legislation that makes sense and saying, hey, schools, follow this. That's how it wound up in the states to begin with. And now it'll ultimately wind up in Congress, because every congressperson seems to think that, you know, governing sports is way more important than the economy or jobs or immigration or really anything government related. You know, sports is more important.
Any of the hard stuff. Sports, it's easy.
Yeah, NCAA, that's the most pressing thing to many, many senators.
It's also easy to go like, we need something that keeps our great high school athletes in the great state of wherever I'm running. That's what it is. It's just, we need to make it so Missouri can keep all the Missouri talent. Or, you know, Texas can keep all the Texas talent.
But realistically, I've come to the point where I am now in agreement with Greg Sankey that they need federal legislation, because at the end of the day, what's going to happen is we're going to see more and more kids get the bait and switch with NIL deals where they're going to be promised X, Y, and Z, and then they're never going to get it. And what is their recourse? Because NIL is still kind of a shadow organization almost.
Yeah.
There are too many states where there's not a lot of rules. Even those rules are sketchy at best. And no state is actually enforcing their rules.
Yeah. It's also a weird situation where if you think about like the recruiting environment when it comes to NIL, because guys are making their decision based on what NIL deals they can get
from a certain
school. And so the coaches have to identify and recruit the talent. Then to get the talent to go to their school, they basically with their mouths have to start writing checks. That then they have to go to the NIL and go, hey, we just promised this 4-star, 5-star quarterback like X amount of money. Are you good for it? can we do that? Is that possible? Because it's contingent on him saying, like, the amount of money is contingent on him saying yes. And that just sets up these awkward situations where it happened to Florida with the quarterback, where they had like an agreement and then the Florida NIL coalition was like, no, we don't. It's a crazy system.
Yeah, they represented they had the money because they were getting it from a donor, and the donor never donated the money.
Like, yeah.
But think about how many 4- and 5-star high school players never make it to the pros. It's a big list.
Yeah.
Like, what, less than 1% of college football players make it to the NFL.
Yeah, the eye-catching numbers are the quarterback, because it's mostly quarterbacks, some other skill positions that get reported as like they're getting $10 million from insert college here, where A, it's going to take a little while because NIL, like you said, still very new, to realize like, hey, this is a terrible investment to invest in 18-year-old kids to win college football games.
If you're 18 years old and you come from a family of modest to very modest means and you have one school that's like, hey, we'll get you like $50,000. You've never had $50,000. But another school comes around and says, we'll give you $500,000. Now, maybe that school isn't as big a program as the other one, but $500,000 going to change a family's life. You might, again, if you don't make it to the NFL, you're never making $500,000 in a year, 99.9%. So you could take that $500,000 and be like, you know what? The house is paid off. The roof isn't leaking. The stove works. Everybody has a car that works. You're not going to go out and buy Maseratis, and you're not going to go out and buy a $3 million house. But all the things that you have that don't work now work. All the medical bills are paid. You now have reliable transportation. You've changed the outlook of your family's financial future. How many people in the sound of my voice, how much does your life change if you get a check right now for 500 grand? Nobody had to die for that. You just got a check for 500 grand. Here you go. Life changes a lot, doesn't it? So yeah, NIL, it makes a big difference. And they got to make sure these kids aren't getting screwed over and lied to. There's got to be an accountability for that. And ultimately, it's going to fall on the colleges who need to be more involved in what exactly the hell is going on with these NIL coalitions. Coming up next, is it time for an NFL rule change? Patrick Creighton in for Paul Gallant.
Now that Paul Gallant's 7-show suspension is finally being enforced, it's time for you to enjoy Early Hits with Patrick Creighton, live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios.
Early Hits, also known as the Paul Gallant Show. ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5. This is what they call Bad Takes Week at SI and around the NFL. And Monday Morning Quarterback, all the Monday Morning Quarterback staffers have been asked to like give their worst football takes and expand on them. This starts off with potentially a bad take, but it does kind of morph into, is there a good take to be had in this? And it has to do with the rule regarding safeties, not the player, but the play. You know, tackle a team in the end zone, they run out of the end zone, they step out of bounds, you know, they fumble the ball, whatever it is. And the defense gets 2 points, and then they get the football. Last season, there were 272 regular season games, and there were a total of 13 safeties. The Bills and Jets each got 2 of them. After teams got their 2 points and then received the free kick, here are how those 13 possessions went. Game over, touchdown, game over, missed field goal, turnover on downs, punt, game over, touchdown, punt, 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 fumble, game over. So all those free kicks resulted in 2 touchdowns? Should a team that gets a safety get a better reward than just 2 points and a free kick? Now, some of the bad takes were, instead of getting 2 points, the defense would then get the football first and 10 from their opponent's 20. That's a little much. Yeah.
No, so no points. Like, no, they don't get 2 points. They just get the ball at the 20.
You get the ball at their 20. So it's an instant red zone possession.
Yeah, so it's basically a touchback. That's not
well, no, not touchback, because you're on their side of the field.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So you get the ball in the red zone.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But if it's the end of the game and there's no time left, you only get 1 on time down.
Who cares? Yeah.
They got me thinking. What about this? How about instead of you don't get any points and you get a first and 10 from a 20, how about you get your 2 points and your opponent, instead of getting the free kick from the 20-yard line where they send out the punt or whatnot, they got a punt from the back of the end zone? Because usually when teams are punting out of their end zone, because it's short, instead of having the 15-yard drop, you only have the 10-yard drop. a lot of those possessions usually wind up on the plus side of the field.
Yeah, because the kick, the way they do it right now, the punt from the 20, most NFL punters with no rush, because they're not, it's not like a rushed down. You know?
No, they boom the hell out of it.
Yeah, they can kick it to the at least like the 5 or the 10.
And
you know?
They get to hang there for 5.5 seconds.
Yeah, so putting it at like with a rush, I'm assuming from the back of the end zone. Yeah,
from the goal line.
Yeah, I like that better. I like that. I like that better than the current rule, and I like that better than the proposed SI rule.
I think there should be. There should be a better reward.
Yeah.
For getting a safety.
I always thought since they're like kind of rare, or they're actually very rare. There's only what 13 last year. 13
all season.
That like why 2 points? Why is it only 2? Like, I always thought they should bump it up to, like, 4. It's worth more than a field goal. Because, again, it only happens a dozen times.
Yeah, I mean, we've seen teams deliberately take safeties to avoid
that too.
Having to play offense.
That, too. That would also, you kind of take away some of the intentional safeties if you just bump up how much it's worth.
You know, should a safety be worth 5 points? Instead of 2, because, I mean, if you're on the goal line, your own goal line, and, you know, you start getting cute with trying to run some kind of fancy play to get big yardage and you get nailed in the end zone, there should be a big penalty for that. If you're on the goal line and you line up in essentially goal line formation, and you can't punch your way forward for a yard, there should be a repercussion for that. Of course, Joe Judge would quarterback sneak it from the goal line on first down, and again on second down, again on third down. That way, when he's punting for the back of his own end zone, it's the full 15-yard drop. But, like, think about the loop that could create, right? Your team gets hit with a safety. Now you've got a punt out of the back of your own end zone.
You can get another safety.
The defense blocks the punt out of the end zone. It's another safety. Or the defense blocks the punt, recovers it in the end zone. Touchdown.
Yeah, and it gives you, even if they don't punt, even if they get the punt off cleanly, like, instead of getting the ball from the 20, like in this one, like, you're getting it from, like, probably the plus 40. You know, around midfield.
And you have a chance for a big punt return because
that too.
Those guys are in, like, max protect because of the short punt yard.
Yeah.
You know, only 10 yards, a short punt drop. They're in max protect because you're coming. They're not going to get as many gunners going down the field.
Yeah, I like this. This is really jazzed up punting
fun.
And safeties. This is only kind of related, but how do you feel about the rule that I think it's been proposed but not, like, ratified in any meaningful way. Does the XFL do something similar with the onside kick instead of an onside, it's 4th and 15?
Right, only in the fourth quarter.
Only in the fourth.
Only in the fourth quarter, and if you're in the fourth quarter and you're down, you can opt for
a fourth and 15
or 4th and 20 to instead of a onside kick.
I always thought that's like a very that's something where I'd want to see it like play. I would want to see how NFL teams like approach that before saying like yay or nay on that, because it sounds like it would be very interesting. Sounds like it'd be onside kicks they've basically taken out of the game. It's like a 2% play or something. Since they changed like the run up rules and how many guys you can have on each side, like onside kicks just don't get recovered. So it would be nice to have something. You know, if you're down 11 late in a game, so maybe we can get the ball back here, but I don't know if maybe it should be 4th and 20 or 4th and 25, but I think that one's also probably next up if we're tweaking NFL games.
Yeah, the other thing is going to be when they adapt the XFL's kickoff rule where the teams line up 10 yards apart at the 35 or the 25 or whatnot, and you have to kick the ball on the kickoff in between the 20 and the goal line. Touchback is a, like, they get the ball.
It's like out of bounds.
No, if you kick it if you kick it out of bounds, they get the ball in the plus 40.
And if you touch back where the
it
was like the 35 or something?
Yeah, it comes out pretty far. But it's just, I'm trying to remember what the rule was. But I only covered the league all year long. I think I remember this stuff. But the if you don't get the ball to the 20 or it goes out of bounds, the penalty is plus 40. It's a massively brutal penalty.
Damn.
Because the idea is they want kickoff returns.
Yeah, they want the returns.
So you've got to kick it in between the 20 and the goal line. And there's a 10-yard difference. Nobody can run until the ball is caught.
Oh, I didn't know that.
So it's a short distance.
Yeah.
But the guy's got to catch it before you can run. So it creates, like, overwhelming majority of returns.
Yeah.
All right. Time to hit the home stretch on this show. They do something called garbage time in this final segment. Before the Killer Bees, which I believe is Joel and Jeremy. Is Jeremy working today? Jeremy actually decided to come to work today?
I believe we have a full unit.
So only Friday Jeremy's not working.
I don't quote me on this. I think so.
Guy just needs a three-day weekend all the time. Slacker. Garbage time's next.
Here's Patrick Creighton, live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios.
All right. Final segment here on the Paul Gallant Show. Always ask me about, like, you know, why do I have the orange sun-kissed, right? So here's the thing. I have found if I bring in a six-pack of the orange sun-kissed, if I bring in a six-pack of the Mountain Dew, because I always go with the zero sugar. Everything I drink is zero sugar. So whether it's zero sugar sun-kissed or zero sugar Mountain Dew, if I bring those in, nobody steals them. If I bring in zero sugar Dr. Pepper, zero sugar Coke, zero sugar Cherry Coke, those things are gone. And, of course, nobody saw anything. So I go with things that I will drink that nobody else will drink. That way I get to keep all my things. And the refrigerator zombie doesn't suddenly start taking my stuff.
I feel like that's a very dad thing. That's a move that a lot of fathers out there have, where it's like, I know what the other people, I know what my wife doesn't want to drink, I know the kids don't want to drink, so that's my new favorite drink, is the one that I can guarantee I will always have dominion and, like, free reign with.
Well, it's that, or I could, you know, bring in a six-pack of Coke Zero and then get one out of it.
Yeah.
So, I'm okay with, because I'll drink them. So I don't mind. You know what? Here's a crazy thing, though, Sean. It almost works in my house. See, the mother of children will not drink the orange. The princess will not drink the orange. My son will drink it, but it's not his favorite. But when I go like the Mountain Dew or Dr. Pepper or whatnot, gone. You are fighting. Not mother of children is not on the Dew. But both children are very much on the Dew.
Have you had the Major Melon Mountain Dew?
I haven't found it in zero sugar, so I haven't had it yet.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
I can't have the sugary.
Yeah.
I never knew how much sugar was in soft drinks until I found out I was diabetic. Like, I used to drink the big tall boys of the Arizona iced tea.
Oh, yeah.
Until I realized there's more than a day's worth of sugar in one can.
Yeah. I think I might be diabetic because of those. I had so many of those. They're 99 cents. You can't beat them.
Yeah. So, you know, Largo says I could just bring water. I said, yeah, but I like to have things that have flavor. You know, I mean, go figure. Why would I like to have things that have flavor? Also, if you drink just regular water and you are doing a radio show, do you know how many bathroom runs you have to make? That's the problem with drinking regular water every 20 minutes. I can't get up every 20 minutes to go. I need to work, get my show in, get our rhythm in, talk sports and stuffs. Not, well, hang on. We got to end this segment early. I got a tinkle. Don't have to do that. Astros are back in action tonight. Will they or won't they be playing Jazzy Fizz? Will they or won't they be playing Yonder Diaz? These are the important questions that inquiring minds want to know, Sean Mays. However, they are in Colorado tonight, and since that game won't get started till 7:40 local time, they don't have the lineups out yet. In fact, Colorado hasn't even announced a starting pitcher. But Hunter Brown will be on the bump for the Astros. All right, it's time for the garbage.
I'm only happy when
it's garbage. And then I start eating garbage.
If there's one guy up here who knows about total garbage,
garbage,
it's this guy. It's garbage time with Paul Gallant. Let's go.
Let's go.
Apparently, the city of St. Louis, Charmin Soft. Before St. Louis City SC played Inter Miami on Saturday, fans were told there would be no Messi jerseys allowed. Not for Miami, not for Argentina, not for Barcelona, not for Paris Saint-Germain, not for Newell's Old Boys, not even for Grandoli, which was his childhood team. There would be no Messi jerseys in the stands in St. Louis. Mind you, Messi was not even playing in this game, Sean.
Oh, this is terrible. I was already against this because I was thinking like, hey, listen, Kansas City, right? No, St. Louis.
St. Louis.
Yeah, listen, St. Louis. You know that this guy's going to pack out your stadium for one night? Maybe just have all comers come in his jersey. Because I'm guessing the best night of your season is going to be the Leo Messi night. But he wasn't even playing. Come on.
So soft. So soft, St. Louis. In fact, Messi makes his Inter Miami debut Friday when they play Cruz Azul of Mexico in an Intercontinental Leagues Cup match at Drive Pink Stadium.
Yeah.
In Fort Lauderdale.
Can it be intercontinental when it's... I assume there's other continents represented other than U.S. and Mexico, but that's not two different continents.
Only if they recognize Pat Patterson as the first intercontinental champion. We have a couple of things here that involve people your age, Sean.
Great.
Number one is young people who are of means. Young people who, let's say they live in, they work in New York City and they want to, you know, spend the summer in the Hamptons. Wealthy young people who apparently lack confidence in their manliness. Getting what are called pee shots. These shots are designed to not only help with performance, but apparently they also help growth. So if you are a rich guy and you are worried about both the size and the motion of the oar swimming in the ocean, you get these things called pee shots, and they help improve the package. This is all the rage for people in the Hamptons as young as 25. Are you 25 yet?
I'm 27.
27?
Yeah.
Oh, you are in the age group.
I'm right in there.
Would you be getting shots into your member?
No, because of the, not just because of the needle into the member, but also just the idea that you can make your member bigger. And, like, this isn't the biggest company in the world already. Like, the second that science figures that out, like, congratulations. You are, whoever figured it out, whoever owns the company that has the penis shots that make them bigger, you're the richest man in the world now. So until that happens, I take all of these with a grain of salt. There's no way it can work because it would be so much bigger.
The last one also involves people your age here in the city of Houston. When I was a kid, you were definitely afraid of getting HIV or AIDS, which you didn't know a whole lot about, other than you'd die. So wearing protection was very important. Young people in the city of Houston apparently not necessarily wearing protection. And syphilis, with a 128% increase in the city of Houston since 2016, a 32% increase just year over year on a national level, but here in Houston, an absolute outbreak. Sean, are you a member of the Protection Club, or are you risking it for the biscuit?
I thought you were going to ask me if I have syphilis. No, I don't have syphilis. Yes, I am. I'm well protected.
Be protected, people. Protecting you from bad sports radio. Joel Blank coming up next. Jeremy Branham, well, maybe not so much, but he'll try, as his now Bad Take Boulevard nemesis, no longer here to rattle that cage. What could we make of the killer bees? They come up next. See you at 7.